of them. 12,000.
Log Talk Radio.
Without power. This has been a Herculean effort by those working to restore power.
In Washington, the Senate's got a busy week with a big veterans aid bill and a controversial Democratic economic package. Republicans blocked a measure last week giving aid to veterans exposed to toxic burn pits overseas. That's prompted controversy. Another vote on that bill is expected this week. Republicans say they blocked it as a protest of the Democrats' so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which aims to fight climate change and lower prescription drug prices by closing tax loopholes on the very wealthy. Democrats say the measure would lower the national deficit and help curb soaring inflation. They may try to get the bill through using a complex budget process known as reconciliation. A jury in Fort Lauderdale is now in week three of the penalty phase for convicted Parkland, Florida shooter Nicholas Cruz. They heard testimony today from medical examiner Terrell Topps, who described what Cruz's victims inside Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High went through before they died. He did the autopsies on victims Aaron Feist and Luke Hoyer, who was hit twice by the same bullet.
Bullet was able to pierce the skin, barrel under the skin, exited out of the skin, re-entered into the skin of the neck.
Cruz faces the death penalty or life without parole. A Washington Post report says the technology that works to match donated organs to patients is out of date and has failed several times. The Post reports the entire system needs updating. The White House's U.S. Digital Service recommends the government intervenes in the United Network for Organ Sharing's current monopoly. Scott Carr, NBC News Radio.
As a teenager in foster care, Tanya didn't think she would be adopted.
I didn't think I would have a family.
But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption found her a safe, loving home.
Teenagers are fun, and there are many first milestones to experience.
Every year, more than 20,000 teenagers in the U.S. age out of foster care without a family. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll take a break from the heat. We'll bring those temperatures down about 10 degrees, down to about 82, 83 for the highs today. Mostly sunny skies. Increasing clouds through the overnight. Low temperatures down to about 60. For Tuesday, clouds in the morning becoming mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 78, 79. Tuesday night, clear skies. Lows back down to about 58. For Wednesday, mostly sunny for the majority of the day. Highs of around 78 with a slight chance of showers and clouds moving in for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 59.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are going to kick off this month, right? We're going to kick off this month with something that is so very important, so part of us, Manifest and Rediscovery with Tiffany Watkins. So stay tuned for that. But, Benny, let us just get really clear about what this day is and where we're going. This is Pride Month. Yeah. Now, we're going to be doing a number of shows and a number of interviews, but it is extremely important to understand the meaning of this in today's world and where we are. And you're going to hear us talk about it. You're going to hear us talk about how decisions that are being made in the government of the United States of America go far beyond anything you think. How this little thing called Roe v. Wade, this is not a controversial statement, was based on privacy. So what happens when you take something that is based on privacy and you say it's no longer of value? Then what starts to happen is, wow, like what I do like in my world, like how I show up, like maybe I'm somebody that wants to work with youth in the LGBTQ community, but I can't say things. So the question really is for today, as we take this month, and we're going to turn this month upside down right on its head, how can we in the world, whatever it is, wherever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you're battling, whatever you believe in, whatever you don't believe in, how do you get to manifest and rediscover? How do you do that? Because, see, I love this, that Tiffany, I love what Tiffany's doing on this. Because if you just take those two words and you take all of the noise out of it, government, politics, I don't know, whatever it is, take it out. How do you do this? And why do you want to do this? And what is it about this that helps us understand that if you're on a pathway and you want to go forward, taking this pathway alone is one of the toughest things you can do. I know it. I did it for a lot of years in my life, and then I discovered how to ask for help. Today, I want you to meet somebody that's all about that. Mentor, educator, business consultant, over 25 years, former IT professional. I love that. Like, IT is like it. She's like an it professional. I love that. Working network system engineering, holds degrees in computer science, understands infrastructure. But you know what I love about Tiffany and I and our background? See, and we don't talk about this. We both have that systems mentality. Why is that so important in the world today? Because it is so cool to be able to look from the inside out. But beyond that, leader in leadership guidance, she has helped many people and businesses thrive. Don't you want that? Don't you want to have a vision and a dream for yourself, but don't you want to know how to do that? And so today, get ready to understand or learn more about what it means to keep a positive mindset, but also what does it mean to live with that? Tiffany, it's great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be on. Thank you so much.
So I want to talk about the two words, manifest and rediscovery, for a moment, because when you, I call it noise, for lack of a better word, I don't have a better word, right? I just know like blah, blah, blah goes on. It's like noise.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how manifest and rediscovery can transcend that noise from your perspective.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, for the record, noise is, I think, the best term. We have had the noisiest last few years, just filled with so much. And what I like to also think is of so little as well, because we've been filled with all this angst and there's been so much social angst going on, and we truly have little progress from that. So I think when I say manifest and rediscover, in that system of noise, we have to manifest change. We have to manifest the things that we want to see. We have to rediscover how we go about making those changes. I think we think we know how those changes are to be made, but we've had little progress. And people are still feeling like the weight of the world is on their backs, and they still got kids, they still got work, they still got school. So I think rediscovering how to make the strides towards the change is the true manifestation that we're really looking for.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason that this is so important, and we're going to really dig deeper into this today, is because let me ask you this other follow-up question, and then we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. Noise has been my greatest teacher when I discovered what it was and what its purpose was. Now, like the noise that I carried in my head for like 40 years or something, I didn't quite understand it. But there are tipping points in the noise. Now, I just mentioned one very benign to a lot of people idea. But it's a very important idea. And there's so much noise that we're not able to take in and rediscover or redirect what's really important to us because we don't have a good sifting mechanism. What's been your experience with this? For example, I did a survey about 6 or 8 months ago. Yes, Betty, I'm going to mention it again. I did a survey. I work with women and teens in addiction and recovery and a whole bunch of other areas. And there was a bill that hit the Senate floor. And our senator sponsored it, equal pay for women. It came in and it went out like it was a flea on an elephant's butt. Mm-hmm. It failed. Argument was it will end up in frivolous lawsuits. Nobody screeched about it. You know, I asked, now I'm up to about 250 women, if they knew about it. I could count on one hand. The women that actually knew it came to the floor, it didn't pass, and it was frivolous for them to be equal pay. Now, the reason I bring it up, because you cannot manifest and rediscover. If we are not what, Tiffany? Paying attention.
Paying attention. That's key.
Talk about, from your perspective, you work in leadership, you're a public speaker, you talk to other people. What have you discovered along the way to your life that has enabled you to move beyond the obstacles that may have shown up for you and to create, you know, Vanguard Media, to create your platform, to become a top coach? How did you move beyond, as I like to say, the crust to bring you right here now today?
Right. You know, I think, and I don't want to make it sound easy at all because it really wasn't. And also, I don't want to beat myself up and say that, you know, I tripped too many times. But I tripped just enough to realize that I had to listen differently. I love that you said how you heard the noise because that comes to us in many different ways. And I had to listen differently and prioritize the messages that came to me from what I was hearing. And we pull upon things that we've heard all of our lives. I call them the old tapes that are playing. They're just playing back there. They're in the background. Sometimes they're positive. It's all the good things that grandma said you could do. It's all the things that you got an award for. But then there's those other tapes that play that say that you weren't that good enough. You were maybe picked on, or maybe you didn't get the support at home that you needed. And those things play around, and somehow those become a priority. It's just human nature. We want to doubt ourselves. And those messages that I was hearing from the noise were having me doubt me. So I was just going through life, overachieving, trying my hardest to get this. Got to get this degree, going to get 2 more. Got certified in this, going to get 3 more certifications. Right? I'm just going to keep building on all of that because I'm going to prove those tapes wrong. Those are not right. I can do this. And I had to, on one of my stumbles, I had to realize that I'm listening to the wrong thing. I'm prioritizing negativity when there's positivity playing right in the background if I just listen. And hearing that, oh, you won an award for this. Oh, you did such a wonderful job. It's like, oh, hey, you know what? I do feel good about this. I'm not an imposter. I can get this done. And that was truly transformative for me. And I just didn't look back.
Yeah. I love that we're talking about this because when we come back from break, we're going to take this on. You know, I shared this the other day on air, I think, and I can't remember in what context, but I was like you. You know, the minute I had the opportunity, I went back to school. I kept going back to school. I didn't even know what I was going back to school for, but I did. I now know why I went back to school. I mean, it had such a different purpose. It had a higher purpose than I even knew. However, there's one thing that I learned when I stepped into this venture, and we're going to talk about it when we come back because you nailed it. You know, there's that line from Doom where it says, fear is the mind killer. So what I added on is this. Fear is the mind killer, and doubt is the dream killer. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tiffany Watkins about how do you move beyond the big D. That is the D that fuels and feeds imposter syndrome. I mean, you all know what I'm talking about, right? It does. You don't have to be have a degree to know what I'm talking about. I mean, think about it. How many of you are moms and you've thought, oh my gosh, you just don't have what it takes to raise this child? Seriously, it creeps in. How many of you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to go start this workout program. Oh, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can lift a break. I'll never be, I mean, oh my goodness, I could go on. But when we come back, we're going to talk about not only what Tiffany has created, but the invitation she has for all of us to step in, get some tools, get ourselves educated and informed. And I got a text message from one of our listeners. No, I am not going to run for government Congress seat. That ship has sailed. Let's take a short breath. Thank you for asking me. Honestly, I don't have the discipline to keep my mouth shut. That's the problem with me. Let's take a short break. When we come back, manifest. We're going to work on that word, manifest. Benny, let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This kitten got your tongue tied in a pussy.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm just saying, go ahead and tell Rihanna that equal pay is frivolous. Miss Rihanna Billionaire, I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for paving the way for those of of us that didn't believe. My guest today, Tiffany Watkins, is totally understanding the dynamics of what we're talking about today. And I just want everybody to be clear what we are talking about today. Manifest and rediscover. Can you all hold on to that, manifest and rediscover? I want to do this for all of you out there. I want to open up the phone lines because if you're in a place where you just do not believe you can manifest, and what do I mean by that? I mean by, yeah, you kind of think about it, you kind of believe it, but it's not showing up in your life, you see? So you think you're holding it, but it's just like the stuff's not showing up in your life, right? It's like you're picking a Rolling Stones song and Sympathy for the Devil plays. It's like, okay, I love that song. I'm just crazy. But how do you manifest and rediscover, and why are these important? Tiffany, before we really break manifest down, how do people find out about you? And can you tell people about the Vanguard movement?
Certainly. Let's start there. Let's start with the Vanguard movement. It's a hashtag that's going around. And it belongs to me. It is Join the Vanguard Movement. And what that is a push for solidarity and women forward in the workplace and in business for women who have dived into the cannabis industry. It is the world's most broad industry right now. And just like every other industry, women are taking a back seat.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. And I developed Vanguard as a platform, a media platform for women to showcase the things that they do and to tell their stories. And what this over time has turned into is an archive of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's going on with women in this industry.
Yep.
Whether it's poor actors, male, poor actors, female, or just a system that is stacked against certain people.
Yep.
And so it's really grown leaps and bounds. There's a magazine attached to it, the Vanguard Media Online magazine, which you can find by going to vanguardmediaonline.com. And I urge everyone to read, even if you're not in the cannabis space, just to know some of the things, the positive things that are going on, and some of the same, you know, old things that have always happened are also going on in this space. It's just like any other space. But we really champion women and their position, and we want to see the gap close. We want to see equality, both persons of color and women in this space. We have a solid chance to get it done.
And I want to talk, may I make a statement for a minute? Because I want to just talk to your point. And what I want to talk to your point about is this fact. Now, in my state, the state of Washington, we were way out front with the movement. We were way out front. And there was a reason we were. And I want to just drop it in there and connect this to what we're talking about, manifest and rediscover. Many people do not know that the people behind the, and I'm going to start with medical marijuana because that's where it started here in this state like over a decade ago, okay, the fight. Many people do not know this. No big journal article on it. The movement that started underneath the movement was women, group of naturopaths, women, moms, who had children that could not be treated by conventional methods for autism. You know where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm.
For cancer, for MS, right? So the movement started with a whisper. And yet we just do not talk about these pioneers that stepped out in front. And they fought the fight. I mean, they fought the battle. And because they fought that battle, and some of them presented the science, and some of them, right? We have to remember our heroes. And isn't that what you're doing?
Absolutely. And you're 100% right. This movement began there. And when people talk about cannabis, we make sure that we are saying this as much as we can, that the women warriors who had to go on the run with their children because they chose a different path for medicine for them, we stand upon the pathway that they carved in with sweat, tears, and whatever they could pack on their back. So we definitely pay homage to and showcase that too. We've published several stories on women who have done just that and are continuing to do that to this very day. organizations being built. There's some in Florida that we have done great stories on that are groups of women who are just like, we will treat our children with what we feel is necessary for their bodies. And if this is our choice, we won't be held accountable for doing something wrong. We are good moms. And, yeah, we definitely champion that. And that is a lot of the – and the other part of the movement that no one talks about is the LGBTQ movement, the back of our community that had to fight just to have the freedom to choose a treatment that gave them quality of life when quantity of life was not guaranteed.
Thank you. Thank you. And you see, that's why I love what you're doing. Because we have to start to call things movements now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really looking at myself again. I mean, what did you rediscover? I'm in a place now where, you know, the expansion of our network behind me, you see the channels, we're going to have all in place by January. And I'm starting to think, have I been enough in the world? Great to create a network, but it's now time to do things differently, right? So we get to rediscover. But one of the things I love about what you've done, and you know, hello, let's call this, this is called the grass ceiling, right? These are women, we are talking about, we got to break a grass ceiling. And you and others are fighting the good fight. But come on, let's talk about a rediscovery. Why is it in the United States, if you live in Washington, right, for example, well, if you're in Washington State, been more liberal about it than a lot. I mean, honestly, we came out of the gate with Christine Gregoire, our governor, put it on the ballot, like, I don't even know when. But why, if you go to another state, are we going to find young men and women in prison? And might I say, mostly young men and women of color in prison for something that is illegal in that state, and not illegal in my state. So where do we get the rediscovery of what's right here for this movement? What's your thought?
Well, my thought is that it really comes, with the people. People have to understand. There has been a stigma built about cannabis and cannabis therapies for over 100 years. We have had direct fear associated with a plant. And so if we think logically, well, if it's a product that you can go to a store and purchase now, why are there people sitting in prison? Well, it's because fear still rules everything, and money still rules everything. And there's big business in prison. And I want to
privatize business now all of a sudden, right? That's like crazy. Right. Privatize business. Doesn't that sound like something from, like, the year 3000 in some futuristic movie? But you're right about it. I mean, you know, people, my mom used to say the buck stops here. And I say, no, Mom, the buck stops at the buck. That's the world we're living in now. You know, when the buck stops here, she's talking about the dollars. No, the buck doesn't stop here. The buck stops at the buck because people are trying to, like, oh, that's not enough money. Oh, I can't get enough of that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Now, let's talk about manifest and rediscovery, because manifest has been one of these tricky words that we're going to talk about more when we come back from break, because what we leave out of the manifestation equation is all the good things we can do in the world, right? You know, so there is this notion of manifestation and greed, but we're not talking about that. You see, manifest a dream, manifest your lifestyle, manifest helping others, manifest how to create a movement, manifest, manifest, manifest. And I want to talk with you about how you did that, what you had to rediscover. I bet it's a lot, too. We'll take a little longer break so we don't have to break later. I want to know, what did Tiffany have to rediscover about herself to become the movement maven for something so incredibly important to helping others, women? How to create something that's going to uplift people that maybe can't lift themselves up right now themselves. See, if we're not going to reach a hand out, Tiffany, I don't know how many people put a hand out to you to help you. I've had more people put hands out to me. I have more women mentors than I can imagine. Without them, I wouldn't be here. When we come back, we're going to talk about manifest
and the movement. Tiffany Watkins, everybody. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-hosts in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live, on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabelz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
I will see if I let go somehow to be here in this moment is all that I ask in the heart.
Thank you for that, Olivia. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Manifest and Rediscover with Tiffany Watkins joining me here today. I want everybody to, we're talking about the Vanguard movement. We're also going to talk about, you know, what does it mean to create a movement, but to also be an incredible coach, a mentor, an educator. And we're going to talk about that now, because how do you keep a positive mindset? How do you manifest things in your life? Tiffany, can you give people the websites? There are several of them, so people can take a look at how to connect with you.
Absolutely. To connect with me, go to www.lccoachingsuccess.com, and there you'll see the programs that I offer and a little bit about me. You can also find more about the Vanguard movement at www.vanguardmediaonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you go there, you're going to be able to take a look at, you know, we're not just, you know, Tiffany's not just talking about manifest. She teaches how to manifest your success. There's a master class on that. There's VIP mentoring when you go there. There's a 15-minute call. There's a lot. And, you know, one of the things that we're talking about today is how do you go from wherever you are to where you want to be? And I think that's part of the conversation today, just in the fact that I can give out two websites for you. Both of them are movements in themselves. Both of them really reach beyond the ordinary and tap into some multi-layered aspects of situations in the world. And I want to ask you, how did you get it? How did you get the idea that you could manifest what you want and then help other people? You know, I always look at what personal things go on in people's lives, like I know, like, what I had to overcome. But the strength and power for how you show up in the world, you have had to break through a few things. I don't know. I'm just saying. You can tell me if I'm off on that.
You know, I did have to break through a few things. It is not easy being a woman in tech. It is not easy being a young woman studying tech. So, you know, and during that time period, there wasn't a lot of support community-wise for, you know, the path that I was taking both in my career and in my social activities. I really championed and advocated for the LGBT community, for safe sex, for abstinence, and for cannabis. So all those things wrapped together, there was a bit of adversity there. There was always something to fight and push against. But it wasn't really that, I wouldn't say that is my catalyst for what I do. You know, or for the reason that I, how I discovered that I could manifest things in my life. I think really what it was, you know, when we started this conversation, I talked about that imposter syndrome. I talked about how it is that we have these old messages, these old tapes playing in our head that tell us many things, but we don't prioritize them properly, so we give ourselves the wrong message from our own internal speak. I had to begin to listen to myself differently. It didn't matter how many people I helped. It didn't matter how many picket signs I held. It didn't matter how much I excelled in class. I still would go, well, I must do more. I need to do more. Why wasn't it enough? And some of that discovery came from talking with other women, seeing that they felt the same way, solidarity and community.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came from seeking out mentors myself. At the time, most of the mentors in college were male. You find someone, and they were, and I needed another perspective. I needed to understand why internally I felt like, even though I excel, even though I'm top of the class, why am I not enough? And I found that I was enough, that I was telling myself that I wasn't enough because I was just listening to every failure I'd had and leaving the positivity of the wins behind. And those came to me through the mentor-mentee relationship, which I honor to this very day, not just as myself as a mentor. I always have people in my circle who I can go to for a multitude of different things. It is very helpful. Now, to start these movements that I started comes from 30-plus years of activism and picket sign holding and learning that if you want change, you have to not just be the change. That's such a T-shirt-worthy phrase, but it doesn't do a whole lot. You have to be a part of the change. That means you have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk, and you have to do the hard stuff, and you have to go out there and act within civil disobedience to get things done. And that tenacity I was able to find in many different corners, and talking with people about their experiences brought me a lot of stories. It created safe spaces for women to start sharing about their cannabis journeys. And that is rather how Vanguard was born, of women's stories and these small community talks that I used to hold so that we could all just share opposing views or views that championed the product.
Uh-huh.
And from that, these are all tied in together for me. From that, I was able to help people. I do one-on-one. Well, I'll come over to your house. Let's talk about this. And I realized that there was value not only in sharing, but in capturing, giving people a soundboard. Manifesting really is just discovering, putting things in place, recognizing that it's in the here and now and how do I grab it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I started developing those years ago while I was still on my journey. And that was, one of the ways that I fell and then got back up again. Every time you get up, on a side note, every time you get up, you bring a little something with you. And, yeah, that's how it began.
You know, I think about this, and I want to just get everybody, you know, I'm looking at you as a cannabis activist, grassroots campaigning over 30 years ago. And I'm thinking about this from a lot of different perspectives. I mean, I have to really talk to the fact that those are words, but those words are backed up by sweat, by tears. And I love that we're talking about action, because tweeting a message about something you care about is lost. Getting a sign and walking in front of your senators or somebody's office or whoever it is you want to hold your sign up for, that is action. And I fear we are losing the art of that voice. Now, I'm a little bit older than you, and I come from a generation where we didn't have a tweet. We had people on a microphone standing in front of some municipal building. We had marching. We had Stonewall. Crazy as that is, that was an interesting event which doesn't get told adequately. We had the gay rights movement for men dying. And, you know, how did you get that? Look, it doesn't matter what side you're on. You believe in LGBTQ or you don't. To watch men die the way they died and women die the way they died and the mayor of New York City be like nothing, that's when you get on Ed Koch's steps and you say no mas. How do we bring the fight back? Because in this industry of cannabis, you know this, but maybe our listeners don't. You ever see a conversation between a woman wanting to start a cannabis company in front of a banker? You want to be a fly on the wall with that? You want to take into consideration all the judgment? And, I mean, honestly, can you even imagine, right, two people in a bank, maybe the banker's a man or woman, you don't know, but a woman walking in with the business plan, with everything saying, I want to work in this industry, I believe in it, thinking I'm going to get funding for it.
It's difficult. It really is.
But that's what you're here to help people with,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you don't know what you don't know, this is not an arena you want to step in a pothole, is it? What do you think the greatest challenge is for women in this industry from where you sit now?
Truthfully, and it's the same as any other industry. It's being taken seriously and being given a chance to have success in an equal and even playing field. It's really just the same. There's not much difference in cannabis, which is why I don't keep everything that I do cannabis specific, because it is a people issue. It just is visible in cannabis mm-hmm. because it's something new and everybody's kind of looking at it and it's becoming more and more mainstream. But this is a people issue. This is an issue of sexism, racism, all the isms. It's here and it's present and it's loud because everyone's talking about it right now. And I'm hoping, what I'm doing is hoping that I can dovetail right into the core of what we need to work on just as people. You know, when women want to get funding for their business in general, why is it that there's such a difference with your business plan when you walk in it, but if you put it in the hands of a man and he walks in and does his pitch, it's welcomed. It's taken more seriously. I have had women come to me and say they have been sexually harassed during a meeting to serve a pitch for funding for their company.
Yep.
They've been propositioned.
Yep.
Quid pro quo.
Yep.
And that, and we need to understand on a human level why people believe that that is acceptable to do to another human. So I think that more than just being industry specific, this is really how do we as women, as people, look inside and see that we need to do better. But I think in order for us to do better, we have to feel better. And for us to feel better, we're going to have to rediscover, and actually really, I'll start here, discover what has made us foul and then rediscover how to bring the light.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, you know, what I help people along the way with is rediscovering the light inside that helps them to do better and be better.
You got to discover the light, because let's talk about this. It really ties into manifest and discover. You know, what is the expression, bad things happen to good people? Well, I don't know where that came from, but bad things happen to everybody. Good people, bad people, it doesn't matter. But when you define your life as those things and you don't let the light shine through, then the laws of the universe, as far as my experience is, I will get more of that. I will get more of the ugly than I could even imagine, right? Mm-hmm. But I love that we're talking about helping women. I love that. I started this network to give women a platform. I didn't know it would turn into what it is today. I started a network because we are an anomaly. I'm a woman-owned broadcasting and television independent. I don't even say that. I don't even talk about it. But 10 years ago plus, even longer than that, women were trying to have a voice. And do you know, women left. Let's start with radio. Women left talk radio by the millions. This independent, positive venue, this has brought them back. And I remember this. There's 20 years ago was my show, and I remember Rob and Brenda and Patricia. And there was a handful of us, and we were women. And the people that were out there to help us wouldn't help us because they told us we didn't stand a chance in hell of doing anything with independent voices. And what do you who is going to listen to women talk? And, you know, I'm so grateful that Benny and the network I'm on, they didn't believe that. These people here at this network, at my network and KKNW, these people are like, come on. Yes, AMFM, join us. So how do we help the women that may be listening that are thinking, I got myself a heavy load I'm lifting? The thing you said that I've had extremely great mentors, but you're creating a platform to help women. What is your vision for where you are today and what you want to see happen, Tiffany?
Ooh.
Yes.
My vision is large. What I want to see happen is for women, especially, to understand the value of where they are. Sure, life gets heavy. It does. It gets heavy for us all. But the power is inside of you. The weight is what's on the outside of you. So we have to let that sink in. What we put on is more stress. Oh, I've got to drive the kids to school. And then afterwards, I need to make sure I've made, you know, cupcakes. And then afterwards, I've got to go to work. Those things we pile on. But the power to get all those things done is inside. So on versus in. When you start to focus on the power that's inside of you, you can burst out of that shell. And that moves all those things not only away from you, but it puts them in their place so that now you can prioritize your life. But you can't do that while it's all hugging around you. You can't feel it. All you feel is the pressure. So getting people to focus inward and focus on the power that's inside is key to prioritizing your life and reigniting that light that I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, you and I didn't even touch upon the fact that we're talking about women, but there's a whole nother layer when we're talking about diversity, equity, microaggression. I mean, there's a whole nother level of this that immediately excludes large amounts of women from the conversation at all. And that is really, for me, when I look at what you're doing, you're creating a women's movement. It doesn't matter, women. You're creating a movement, period, that opens up a door so people can have a conversation about, Tiffany, I don't know what I don't know. I have an idea. Can you help me with my idea?
You know, and they're not going to get the answer I got 20 years ago. That idea really is stupid. You're never going to be able to create a positive talk radio network. You're just like, give it up now. And I was told that by an executive of a syndication company. But we have to have others that help us stay true to the course and believe in ourselves. How important is it for us to annihilate that imposter syndrome and replace it with faith and belief in ourselves?
It is the most important thing. And that's not just in business. That's just in life. We think we're imposters all the time. When you're nervous about showing up to a gathering, you know, and you're just pitter-patter of your heart before you walk in the door, the social anxiety that people talk about, but no one talks about, where's that come from? What are you anxious of? The people? Well, no, you know half the people. It couldn't be you're afraid of the people that you don't know because you haven't met them yet, right? Really, that's imposter syndrome. What are you going to talk about? How are they going to perceive me? Am I dressed right? Will I like the food? Is there going to be too much alcohol? There's 1,000 questions that can go through your head, and all those are you feeling that I just maybe won't fit into this. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that in order to be able to eradicate it within ourselves. We have to acknowledge that I may feel like I'm an imposter just by walking into the grocery store. Do I have enough money to get that or whatever? And have to recognize that even in those small moments, that doubt is what's screaming. And you will take that doubt with you to the next thing and then on to the next thing. And it just starts to compile itself and it becomes this huge ball of negativity. And you have to fight through that negativity in order to make room for something positive to come into your life.
Yeah. I mean, I thought in my life I'd seen a lot of things, but you know what I've seen in the past 5 years has shocked me. I play a sport. It's called table tennis. I play with people, like, just to be clear, I'm probably the minority in the group in terms of the color of my skin, just right? And I have never seen such harassment against Asian people in my community here, which is so protective. I mean, walking out of the street after playing, and I'm thinking we are going to get beat up here because somebody Asian. And I'm like, what? Like, why? Like, some rumor about COVID. And I thought to myself, this is a whole new world, and we have to have a brighter light than we've ever had. Don't you think?
100%. Over the last 5 or so years, there's been such a huge shift in judgment. People are very, very quick to judge. I'm not going to say that this racist activity came out of nowhere.
It's been a
part of us in America. It's been a part of us for a long time. But people acting the way that they do, the judgment, the forceful behavior, the online bullying and things like that. You mentioned earlier, you know, that you came before the Twitter. So did I. I think I don't let the mohawk fool you. I'm older than I I remember.
I know, right?
When things were more simple. And we didn't have all these gadgets and places to go to vent online and find groups of people who felt the same way as us. And I think that that's emboldened the position of hate by being able to find collective hate groups in these areas to be social and really just kind of go, yeah, that is the right way when it's really the wrong path. And so over the last 5 or so years, it's been toiling and it's been really boiling. And we're at this head of, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? Because you shouldn't have to feel that way just because there's Asians in your group or Blacks in your group or Hispanics in your group, that there is going to be some sort of incident. But that's where we are. We have to change who we are inside to move aside a lot of that judgment and realize that we're one being and that we have to focus on what's here and now if we want better.
You know, oh, now we have a few minutes left. There are some things I'm really get excited about. In the world that we're talking about, there's a guy out of Pennsylvania, right? I don't live there. I live here, but I'm from the East Coast. And I've been watching this man. His name is Fetterman. And he's running, right, in Pennsylvania. And he has been old school, grassroots. I'm going to walk down the street in my little shorts, and I am going to talk to people, and I'm going to go door to door. And he has an interesting T-shirts and stuff. This is a man you want to talk to. legal weed for PA, homegrown for the holiday. I mean, this is a guy, if you look at him and you understand what he believes in, you'll see he's even got a rainbow heart thing with his name on it. This is what we're talking about. Now, I don't live in Pennsylvania, but I've been watching him, and I've been watching what he says, and I've been watching how absolutely angry people are at him, and I've been watching the integrity he has in holding his own. Now, everyone listening to this and everybody you touch and everybody I touch, they have the same integrity. We have to stop the noise and find the light that you talked about. Tiffany, I can't thank you enough for today. I want to take a minute, make sure everybody has your website. And then I want to hear your personal message. I would love to know, how do we engage with you? How do we join the movement? How do we work with you? How do people call you to ask you questions they don't even know the question? How do we do that? Let's give out that information first.
Awesome. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me on today. You can find out more about me, and you can end my programs from going to www.lccoachingsuccess.com. lccoachingsuccess.com. There you'll find all the programs that I offer, and you can even book a free 15-minute session with me where we can talk about what program's best for you, one-on-one mentoring, or maybe you need to visit my master class. Right now, the master class is being held online. We will in the near future be a live class in person, but right now we're online, so it's very easy for you to join in and get these lessons right from the comfort of your own home.
Mm. I can't thank you enough for joining us here today and for being that leadership we need in the world and your heart and your commitment to helping so many women out there that don't even know that there is help on the way. I would love to know your personal message, what you want to say to everybody listening today.
Certainly. I think my personal message to everyone is to be careful what you're listening to that's coming from yourself. Make sure that you are bathing yourself in positive messages that come from within, and that you are gracious and within gratitude enough to give those messages to someone else so that they can get into their positivity as well.
You know, thank you so much for all that you do. Again, give out those websites one last time if you don't mind.
Certainly. LC Coaching Success. That's at www.lccoachingsuccess.com. And if you'd like to know more about women in the cannabis space, go to www.vanguardmediaonline.com.
And for those of you out there, yes, we are going to be doing a series this month on issues, not necessarily on this show, but definitely on the Power Up with Dr. Pat show. And I have a funny feeling we're going to be having Tiffany back joining us on some of that. Thank you, Tiffany, for everything you're doing. Thank you for being the spirit of action for everyone. Thank you for being the mentor of mentors. Thank you for taking on the conversations that most people are scared to death to talk about. Thank you for being you. Benny, you do it every time. Thank you for making everything go smoothly. Olivia, thank you for jumping in again. And Daniel, for you too. It takes a village for us to get this message out to 100 media outlets, and I am so honored I work with the best and the best. We'll see you all next time.
Just heard an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network. For more information about the network, visit transformationtalkradio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, if you're on Highway 18, it's heavy just after Auburn. As you're rolling past Southeast 304th Street, it's heavy all the way through Covington.
and the 516, it will break free on the other side around Southeast 256. That's on Highway 18 eastbound in Covington. It's heavy in the eastbound direction. That's right. Stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Maximum Resilience with your host, Kelly Bazzani. Mindfulness matters.
NBC News Radio, I'm Scott Carr. The death toll from flooding in eastern Kentucky is now up to at least 30. Governor Andy Beshear says they know the death toll will grow, while some of the hardest hit areas are getting even more rain today.
There is severe storm potential today and all of the impacted areas. That is just not right.
Beshear says power outages also continue to be a problem. What's top of mind for Americans right now? A new Gallup poll says it's inflation, concerns about the government, and bad leadership. 17% of respondents cited each of those concerns. The economy in general was a main concern for 12%. Concerns about abortion came in at 8%. It's a big deal for those who travel up and down the East Coast. Work started on a new portal bridge. A groundbreaking was held today. Scott Pringle reports from New York. It's a key part to the bigger Gateway project that'll expand rail service from New Jersey into Manhattan.
The portal bridge has been a key connection where hundreds of Amtrak and NJ Transit trains pass over daily, but the more than century-old structure over the Hackensack River requires speed restrictions and has malfunctioned when opened at times. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg says a new bridge will be a game changer.
This project turns the Portal North Bridge from a choke point to an access point. It modernizes the way that people and goods get to and from this region.
The new Portal North Bridge will have a modern span that does not need to open for river traffic. It's scheduled to be complete in 2026.
GNC is now among the brands being added to Amazon's same-day delivery service. It's available for free to Prime members if they spend $25 or more. Fans of Elvis Presley will get a chance to own some of the jewelry that he gave to his manager.
Won't you ever
The items include watches and chains, along with cufflinks. The guitar Elvis used during his 1968 comeback special will also be up for auction. Scott Carr, NBC News Radio.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll take a break from the heat. We'll bring those temperatures down about 10 degrees, down to about 82, 83 for the highs today. Mostly sunny skies. Increasing clouds through the overnight. Low temperatures down to about 60. For Tuesday, clouds in the morning, becoming mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 78, 79. Tuesday night, clear skies. Lows back down to about 58. For Wednesday, mostly sunny for the majority of the day. Highs of around 78 with a slight chance of showers and clouds moving in for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 59.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, as we go on this epic journey of how to own your power and the steps to take that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. This educational, powerful, engaging, and inspiring show will change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Let's shift the paradigm promoting mental and emotional wellness. We do recover. Experience the transformation from addiction to living your best life. Here is the secret to learn how to master unleashing your full potential every day in every way. Maximum Resilience starts now.
I'm telling you, it really does start now. I'm Dr. Pat, and I don't know how much longer, Benny, I'm going to get the honor of sharing this platform with the most amazing certified coach, beyond even that, the creator of Maximum Resilience, Kelly Bazzani. Now, but today is one of those days we get to do it. When I think about people, here's what I think about. I love the people that I get to work with and hang out with. I love the people that are so committed and dedicated to helping this place be a better world.
that they show up 125 million%. That's like a number, Benny. But they also show up with powerful messages. So for a show like today for all of you, if you don't know who Kelly is, you're going to find out today. Besides having a master's in psychology, a certified master life coach, facilitator, content creator, the most amazing person when it comes to understanding the, I'm going to call it the travelogue of addiction and recovery. I love that term. This is what you're going to get today. And because of the nature of the show and the depth and the breadth of what we do, it is also translatable and also transcendent to a conversation today that mindfulness matters. Jessica and I were just all over this a few minutes ago, but I didn't quite explain it. So Jessica's running the show today, so she'll get to hear it. Today, mindfulness matters, the importance of agreements in mastering consciousness. Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Right? All right. So let's start with the conversation about the topic. And how did this hit you? And let's set us up for what people can expect in the show, because this is like a super powerful thing today.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Pat. I'm super excited about today's show. So Dr. Pat and I are going to speak today about one of our favorite topics. I'm going to say our, and follow it up by referencing one of our most favorite books, treasured books, and author Don Miguel Ruiz. It's one of the first assignments I give my coaching clients is I give them the book, The Four Agreements, along with my spirit animal, Brene Brown, her Gifts of Imperfection. But we're going to outline the four agreements today, and we're going to put a dynamic spin on how keeping these agreements can result in changeable outcomes, positive or negative, Dr. Pat. We're going to talk about that, favored or not. And what is the impact of keeping these agreements? So how many of you guys wonder out there why you break agreements? That was a really big struggle for me early in my recovery, and especially when I was in my addiction and my alcoholism. So why this is so powerful is that this addictive behavior, because it is an addictive behavior, so we're going to put a little spin on that for you guys today, this can shift on just being mindful, and present and staying conscious and the actions you can take in your life. So we always think of mindfulness as meditating on a rock or oming to a Buddha mantra, which is great. I do that as well. You can see me with my little bracelets on. I have my little chakra bracelets on, so we're not dismissing that at all. But I want to ask, like, we always think of this, and I want to ask the audience, like, how many of you are taking a picture with your family or taking a picture with your significant other, and somebody just, like, walks right in front of the camera, right? Like, raise your hand, like, and how many of you are laughing because you yourself have done that? Raise your hand, because I've done that as well. So I just want to, like, ask you, how does that apply to addiction? And that's what Dr. Pat and I are going to kind of tackle that today, because I want to ask the audience, how many of you know exactly why you drink or use substances? Like, exactly know why? And I just want to have everybody kind of sit with that for a second, because I'm going to kind of take you through the steps using the four agreements today. Dr. Pat and I are going to do that, because we can't recover until we are mindful and conscious of what we're recovering from, because we go unconscious. And I don't mean like unconscious, like asleep unconscious. I just mean we go unconscious and we break agreements. So I shared a little bit of my story last episode in Mindset Matters. Today we're doing Mindfulness Matters. And I want to share a little bit more before we get into this, Dr. Pat, that I broke my back lifting a patient when I was a critical care nurse in 2006. I underwent 8 spinal surgeries until 2013 that led to my addiction. And so for me, I was just existing. And I initially used it for physical pain, but then I noticed and I was mindful and aware that I was using it for emotional pain. And so same thing for alcohol. It was fun until it wasn't. So how did that shift, right? So I went from using, thinking about using, recovering from using, to in my mindfulness and keeping agreements to myself and others, to growing, thinking about growing, or resting my body and mind from a huge growth and transformation. So when we're mindful and keeping agreements to ourselves and others, we reduce stress. We enhance performance, We gain insight and awareness through observing our own mind, and we increase attention to others' well-being. We can suspend judgment and unleash our natural curiosity about the workings of the mind and approach our experience with warmth and kindness to ourselves and others.
Yeah.
So that's going to be like the boom of our show today, is going through each one of these agreements and how it applies to our addiction and how we can become mindful and keep our agreements throughout each step. So I'm super excited to be doing this with you, super excited to take us through each one step by step, using my own personal examples in my addiction recovery to help guide everybody, no matter what stage you're at. And let's do this. I'm super excited.
Look, I love Don Miguel. I actually will call him a friend, and so of his children. You know, he was one of the first interviews I did when I very started. And so can we just recap where we are? For those of you that don't know the Four Agreements, let me get you there. The Four Agreements, this is the title of the book. It is a book. It's available paperback, Kindle, audiobook, spiral bound, anything you can imagine, you can get it. The Four Agreements. A practical guide to personal freedom. See that? Now, right, Kelly? In recovery, we talk about freedom. This book, just on Amazon, has over 83,000 ratings, just on Amazon. And this is why we're talking about it, because, Kelly, you got to fill me in on this. This is one of these books, every time I talk about it, I say, I've read it. I've even said to Don Miguel, has anybody been able to do these Four Agreements other than you?
Right.
And what I realized in his answer to me was, how did he say it? He talked more about it being a journey and about the intention of it, because that's where the growth is. What are your thoughts on that? And let's get to the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a tricky one. This one, right? Let's get to the first one. Be impeccable with your work.
Yeah. And we'll get to, you know, that's the thing. People look at that. I use it as my Bible, right? I have gone and dove into that book hundreds of millions of times, because the goal is not to do it perfectly. And we're going to talk about that in our last segment, which is always do your best.
Yep.
You're never going to perfectly be impeccable with your work. You're never going to perfectly not take things personally. But the goal is to just do your best with all of these agreements. So thank you for prefacing with that.
Yeah.
The first one that, you know, we're both reading about is being impeccable with your word. That's the first one we're going to talk about, right? And Don Miguel says, with that first one, being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. And I love when he talks about that, because we talked about this in our first show, like where your attention goes, your energy flows. And so it means to use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself first. Right. So before you can be impeccable with your word towards others, you have to watch how you're being impeccable with your word to yourself. Are you keeping agreements with yourself first? How are you speaking to yourself first? Are you being impeccable with your word to yourself first? So if you make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, he says, the truth will manifest through you and clean all the emotional poison that exists within you. Wow. Wow, right? Like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that, right? And so when we talk about that, Dr. Pat, where how I take that into layman's terms for myself, because that's a lot of depth in that one sentence, is be proud of everything that you say. You know, I always tell my clients, be proud of everything you say. And to me, that manifests into integrity of character. So what are you saying to yourself, and is that translating over then into what you're saying to somebody else? So if you're showing truth and love for yourself, you're then showing truth and love for others, right? It's that law of attraction. And so there we kind of bleed into like the accountability piece. So accountability, I love to say to people, like, accountability only feels like an attack when the person's not ready to accept and be mindful to see how their behavior is harmful to others. Have you ever had that, Dr. Pat, where, like, you know, someone comes to you and they're like, 5 years ago when we went fishing, you were kind of impatient with me. And you're like, what?
I have a friend of a friend who ruminates about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even remember when we went fishing.
And then you just insult them more because you don't remember that special fishing moment. And you're like, okay, like what decade was that in? Just help me out. I don't know. I can't tell you what I ate for dinner last night.
Right.
I don't live in that space. But you said something I want to ask you to further define.
Yes.
There are two sides to this coin. And this is what I love. There's the idea that I am going to be impeccable with my word. But there's the other side of it. There's the receiver of it who knows when we are and knows how it feels when we're not. There are consequences to both behaviors, doing it and not doing it. And I use the word consequences because there are outcomes. Let's just call it outcomes.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hit the mark more times than not to be impeccable with your word, then the outcomes of that are things like you develop trust, da-da-da-da-da-da. When you're not, what happens is there are negative consequences. So you're today talking about what happens on both sides of that coin because you mentioned the word accountability. And
that's
if you're going to mention accountability, then we got to talk about a whole lot of outcomes, right?
That's right. So, for example, that's great. I love how you brought that up. So if I'm living in my integrity of character and I'm saying to you that I'm loyal, I keep my agreements, I'm compassionate, okay, and that's what I'm keeping my agreement, then you come to me and you say that about the fishing trip. And I'm like, I don't remember that fishing trip. Then I'm not being impeccable with my word of who I say that I am. I'm not keeping that agreement. So all those things go down. Your trust in me goes down. Your self-worth, your self-confidence, all those things go down. But if I say to you, Dr. Pat, I am so sorry. I don't remember that fishing trip, but if you say to me that I hurt you, then I'm so sorry. So I'm compassionate. I'm living in my integrity of character. I'm being loyal to who I am. Then all those things in you go up. Your trust in me, your self-worth, your self-confidence and stuff because I keep my agreement. I'm being mindful, et cetera. Do you see? So there's how that works on that spectrum. I'm being impeccable with my word, right? And so there's where it's favored or not, it can have a positive or negative outcome. Because nobody ever died from swallowing their pride, right? So even though I may not remember that fishing trip, I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, I can still be impeccable with my word to myself, keep my agreement, be mindful, be conscious of what you're saying to me. And so that accountability only feels like attack if I'm not willing to admit how that behavior might have been harmful for you. So I'm still living there, right? So we're free to choose, like you said, but we're not free from the consequence of our choice. So in that moment, I can choose to be impeccable with my word, or I can choose to go unconscious and not keep that agreement to myself and to you to be impeccable with my word.
And now let's loop it back because we are talking about mindfulness matters. That is the episode today we're talking about. And I just want to remind everybody that the reason mindfulness matters, and Kelly, you're going to take us on a journey of what mindfulness really is, right? It's not what everybody thinks. And you don't have to be on the top summit of in Tibet on a mountain. This is something that everyone can do. It's about really then brings itself forward when we start to think about this and we think about accountability and we think about mindfulness matters. This one right here, this one is the giant pothole.
Yes.
Don't take anything personally.
Yes. And that is based off of our first step, right? Because this is why it leads so much to addiction. Because we have an addiction, and it's called an emotional addiction. Right. We get addicted and Don Miguel says this so beautifully. And I'm going to start with what I say to my clients, right? Emotional pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And so we get to choose to look at the role we play in our own suffering. And this one is hard for people in addiction because we create so much chaotic energy in our addiction. So when we choose to get sober, we're like, what do we do without all these emotional addictions, okay? And so Don Miguel says, humans are addicted to suffering at different levels and to different degrees. And we support each other in maintaining these addictions. And humans agree to help each other suffer. And so they are asking for justification to their suffering. So their addiction to suffering is nothing but an agreement that is reinforced every day. So we don't consciously pay attention to this sometimes. So you'll notice that people will say sometimes like, well, this is normal. This is normal. You know, I've been in this relationship, and I say to people, it may be normal, but it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Right? And so we like to look at this in terms of being mindful of you're enabling this behavior because you're also doing the same behavior.
Yes.
So I like to go into not taking things personal because you get to trust yourself. A lot of the times you're looking to somebody else for that external validation and they're like, oh no, I wouldn't wear that.
We just went through this today. I mean, it's so funny that we're talking about these things and then, you know, we wake up in the morning and you start to, you know, get yourself ready for whatever your day is. And then something shows up that totally leans into what we're talking about. Let me ask you this question because, and I got to reiterate this. See, mindfulness matters because it is the gateway to helping us get to being able to do these four agreements.
Yes.
So it is that gateway. It's like the bridge, like the four agreements is like over here, like going across the George Washington Bridge, like the four agreements over here, right? And mindfulness is the bridge.
Yeah.
And what you got over here is everything but the four agreements, right? Okay,
yeah.
So like zero over here agreements, and then the four agreements and the bridges, mindfulness matters, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I want to ask you about this, because talk to the nature of when we take things personally, because in addiction and recovery, this is a thing, and we don't know it, we don't call it out, but outside of addiction and recovery, this is a thing. People take things personally. And Kelly, by the way, social media has not helped with this.
No. And I was telling you, Dr. Pat, remember on our call a couple of weeks ago, I was saying I'll have clients that they'll get suicidal over what they're seeing on social media. They'll say, I saw my boyfriend and he was in front of this big house and this big car and he's moved on without me and he's living his best life. And I'm like, I know. And then we'll find out that the boyfriend is in front of somebody else's house and car. Right? But they're looking at something and taking that personal without testing the evidence. Did you directly talk to your boyfriend and know what your boyfriend is doing? Right? And so we're choosing to believe or not believe what someone says to you. As your mindfulness and awareness grows, you get to choose to trust what is your inner knowing telling you rather than basing it off of what somebody else is saying, where they might be lying to themselves about what the actual capital T truth is. My master life coach would always say to me, it's your truth, but is it the capital T truth, right? And so when you don't take things personally, you avoid many upsets in your life, anger, jealousy, you know, all these different things that are happening, sadness, and you experience freedom like you were talking about. And you do not place your trust in what others are saying or doing. So you get to go into this problem solution for yourself, which I love to teach my clients, which is like, how do you, you come back to yourself, how do you contribute to the problem by either your reaction or your inaction when the problem is occurring? So I love the example. I want to, you know, I always like to use myself in, as an example, so I'm not just sitting here like,
yeah,
and do this step, and then we do this
right,
step.
Right, right.
So early in my recovery, you know, I was, you know, I'm going to my parents' house early in my sobriety, right? So my reaction is, why are they drinking when I'm sober? You know, why don't they have any non-alcoholic drinks there that I like to drink? Why did nobody ask me, you know, what's my sensitivity around drinking? So there's my reaction. You know, then my inaction is, why didn't I say anything about how I was going to feel? Why didn't I call my mom and dad and tell them what alcohol, non-alcoholic drinks I would like there? My inaction, why didn't I set boundaries around the time I was going to show up and the time, right? So I go there instead of taking things personally and sitting there in my gunk, right? And so there's where I can get it back to me and trust myself to know what action I can take And then I don't take things personally, right? So I leave behind all that sadness, all that resentment, all that envy that everybody else is drinking, and I bring it back to myself, okay? So I never spoke up. So I don't, but I don't know any of that if I'm not mindful and conscious and keeping my agreements to myself around my own sobriety, and then I'm not taking it personally. So yeah. I love that. And we go back to the step one of, am I being impeccable with my word and in my integrity of character? So it all fits together there. So I love this agreement because it's so difficult. I remember early in my sobriety, my sponsor's like, what other people think about you is none of your business. And I'm like, but, you know, I used to get so irritated. She's like, it's none of your business. And I'm like, but, because it's just human nature that you want people to like you. You know, you want people to have a good, but when you're setting boundaries and you're early in recovery and you're so worried about it, it forms those core beliefs, those negative ones. And so it's really important because all that emotional poison is getting in and it's forming how you're making agreements, or more importantly, how you're breaking agreements to yourself based on what other people are thinking.
Yeah. I love the way Don Miguel talks about this early on in the book because he really lays the blueprint out and he hits you right up, really, it felt like he was hitting me right up the side of the head, you know, when you open the book and you're just getting warmed up. And he says, the belief system is like a book of law that rules our mind.
Yes.
And he goes on to talk about this. What he's saying about the book of law is it doesn't matter what's in your book of law. Whatever is in the book of law is your truth.
Yeah,
your book of law could be different than mine, but whatever's in here about my belief system, that's it. And it ties into what you're talking about because all of this that we're talking about, in order to be able to get this aspect, Kelly, down, this second agreement now, we have to build up a level of resilience here. You know, we have to look at mindfulness matters because... And if you want to open that door to freedom, then this is what we have to learn. I want to take a short break if we could. But before we do, Kelly, can you just take a moment and just let everybody know how they can find out more about you? Tell us a little bit about the work you're doing with others in this area.
Yeah, you guys can find me at www.myresiliencecoach.com. And Dr. Pat's beautiful colleague Jessica has rebuilt my website and added my media page where you can book me for speaking engagements now. She has also updated my website so you can find all of my information there. So you can book me for speaking engagements. You can find me for group coaching packages and for my one-on-ones. So you can find all of the information where we cover all this master empowerment coaching. And I'm speaking at a broader level to cover all these topics. So we're super excited to be expanding. Yeah.
And by the way, we're doing a whole series on this because you all have asked for it. You know, we don't just randomly come up and say, oh, let's talk about this today. You know, there is clearly a method to what we're doing. So what Kelly has done is she has created now, this is the second conversation we have because when we're looking at mindfulness, it does matter. And when we come back, you're going to find out why. Because here's the deal with what she's saying. And it's like Don Miguel says, there's something in our mind that judges everybody and everything. It's there. And that's what he calls this thing, your inner judge, is what we use in the book of law. But how does that help us cross that bridge, as we were talking about? How does it help us get from all of this stuff that is just not working in our lives to the other side, which we are going to call freedom? So when we come back, we're going to take a little trip down the road of what? This one right here. How many of you know what that third agreement is? How many of you know what the third agreement is? And boy, pick which one of these is difficult for you. When we come back, it's that third agreement, but what does mindfulness matters have to do to help you with this one? Wait to hear what Kelly has to say about it. Let's go to a short break. Benny, Jessica, you all will be right back.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society?
Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
To Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit inspiredwisdomcoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's inspiredwisdomcoaching.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
When I first saw you, I knew I had to take you home. My friends, they argued I couldn't raise you on my own.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And just want to remind everybody, you are listening to Maximum Resilience with Kelly Bazzani. And I'm Dr. Pat. I get to take a little bit of this journey with her for the moment. Kelly is bringing to the conversation mindfulness. Mindfulness matters. That's the conversation today. But in order for us to really build a bridge and explain the importance of this, I think what Kelly has done to really look at the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel, and say, look, let's take a look at mindfulness as the bridge, and let's take a look at these four agreements, because what Don Miguel says is that these four agreements are pathway to freedom, and that's where we started. We're going to get ready to talk about number three, which is don't make assumptions. But before we do that, Kelly, give us your website one more time, if you could.
Sure. It is www.myresiliencecoach.com.
Okay. Look, in thinking about this, you know, we've so far what we've talked about for those of you out there, be impeccable with your word. That's what we talked about at the beginning. And you know that has to do with mindfulness. And we'll be able to tell you how these all tie together. Then the next one is don't take anything personally. so about why mindfulness matters. Now, this one's a little bit trickier, but Kelly is going to bring it on. Don't make assumptions. And Kelly, let's talk about this, because this is the one where people don't really connect the dots very well for mindfulness, but it is essentially there, isn't it?
Yes, it's so essential. And I want to just be really clear that I work on these every day myself in my mindfulness. But Don Miguel says the problem with making assumptions is we believe them to be the truth. And we talked about this a little bit in segment two. We make assumptions about not only what people are thinking, but what they are doing. And this becomes a big problem, not only in recovery, but in our addictions. And so when we assume what other people are thinking or doing, then we blame them. And then we react by sending emotional poison with our word. And so I don't need to say on air that this can become a huge chaotic mess, not only for ourselves, but for the person that we are sending that emotional poison to. So we know the old phrase, you know, when we assume we, you know, boom, boom out of you and me, but that is still the truth with all this. So we make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personal, step two, and we end up creating internal and external conflict for nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it kind of goes with how we are in our addiction, right? We're just creating kind of, at least I was creating chaos wherever I went. So what I am really, if anything, we take from this show today is have the courage to ask questions, right? Make sure the communication is clear. What I always say to my clients is be inquisitory, not accusatory. Because by the time, you know, I always say to my clients, sometimes we don't have the closure we need. So then we make up the communication in our mind, right? So Dr. Pat, you and I are friends, let's say. Well, we are friends, but we're just doing this scenario.
Yeah.
Dr. Pat is your friend. She's not communicating with me because she needs a minute, she needs her space or whatever. So because I don't have the communication, I'm over here and I'm making up a scenario in my mind. Because it helps with my pain, it helps with my discomfort or whatever. So I'm like, she's over there doing her Dr. Pat show. Well, she's happy. Well, she's busy. That's why she's not communicating with me, right? So I'm over here making all these assumptions without any communication. So I'm blaming her. I'm making assumptions. I'm doing everything. So by the time I actually get a chance to communicate with Dr. Pat, I'm being accusatory with you statements, not I statements. You don't have time. You're busy with your show, but right, I'm spitting this emotional poison, which isn't healthy for me. It's right. And now if you see, I'm bleeding into segment two. I'm taking things personally. I'm not being impeccable with my word. And it's just a hot mess expressed over at Dr. Pat. Now, how do you feel Dr. Pat's going to respond to that? Not very well, right? As opposed to I'm inquisitory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because I'm going to take it personally. So there we go with that.
Right? So then instead, I'm inquisitory using I statements. Dr. Pat, I'm just curious. I don't feel like things went really well the last time we spoke. I was just wondering if you have time to have a conversation. I don't feel like I was clear in my communication. I don't feel like my perspective was probably the best on this because I was angry and upset, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Right? Huge difference in the way that I'm not making any assumptions. I'm not like blame shifting. I'm not gaslighting. I'm not like spitting emotional poison over there. Okay. So when you stop making assumptions and you communicate clearly and you're free of that emotional poison, your word becomes impeccable. So when we're clear and specific. So I just want to kind of bleed in a little bit that one of my favorite authors, who is Bessel van der Kolk, he writes How the Body Keeps Score. He says, trauma is a reaction, not a memory. And at first I was like, I don't know. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, absolutely. So Dr. Pat and I have a disagreement. She says something, right? At first I react. I'm like, oops. Right? because she is not my trigger. Let me just be very clear.
Yeah.
And let me be clear about one more thing, too, because I'm so passionate about this subject. So please rewatch this as many times as you need to, because it took me years to learn this, and I want to take you through a shorter amount of pain and a shorter amount of time. Your triggers are your responsibilities, not the other person's responsibilities. So Dr. Pat says something to me. I get triggered. Dr. Pat is not my trigger. What she said was the trigger. Maybe her tone was the trigger. Okay. But I react to it, and then it brings me back to the memory that is the trigger. Okay. So your trigger is an unwanted emotional or behavioral response. Okay. And so at that moment, then if you're mindful of this, this is where we get into the mindfulness matters. You have the opportunity then to ask questions and walk your way to a different ending. If you are not mindful of this and you go unconscious, right, you're going to keep repeating the same patterns over and over, but with a different person and a different experience until the lesson is learned and you become conscious of it. Okay? So this is where this is, like, really important. So I want to give a personal example, Dr. Pat, unless you want to add.
No, let's do it. Let's do it. Because this is the one thing I think right here, this one really touches on the others. But it's the one that can be the silent killer. The assumption one is the silent killer, right? Would you agree?
Absolutely. And it took me years to learn it, but I'm so mindful and aware of it now that I have ended, like, I don't do this in my world anymore, right? Like, if I notice this and I see friendships keep repeating this pattern, and I'm like, hey, I'm just curious, I'm noticing this, and they're like, not mindful, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I love you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance, right? Because it's emotional poison, right? So my example that I am so mindful of and I continue to keep working on is my father. As a child, I was always seeking external validation from my dad, right? I wanted him to notice me. I wanted him to pay attention. My mother was always overly nurturing, telling me how beautiful I was and lovely and this and that, okay? So therefore, I'm always aware and mindful of how I'm triggered by people's responses to me because I know how I show up for people, okay? So if I respond to people with this long, supportive, nurturing text, like my mother would send, okay, to people, and I get a thank you. So if I'm like, Dr. Pat, thank you so much for that wonderful phone conversation. You're the most supportive mentor. I appreciate you so much. So that, like, my mother would send to me and I get a thank you from you, like my dad would send when I was a kid. I am aware and mindful of how that is triggering for me, okay? So I need to be aware of how it triggers my need for my dad's external validation trigger.
Yeah.
Okay? So I can't assume or take it personal that just because I didn't get a long, nurturing text back from you, that you don't love me just as much as I love you, okay?
Yeah.
That is an example of that. So, but that is my responsibility. That I can't wait and take that personally and just wait for you to send this long nurturing text. So the next time we get on Zoom, I'm like,
yeah. And you know, it's tricky ground, isn't it? Because what you're talking about really has to do with our own introspective, you know, evaluation we do of ourselves.
Yeah.
And the reason we have to do that is because you cannot expect other people to understand the personality styles of every single person that they're up against. And although I will tell you, I have learned a little bit more that there are some people, all they want is a thank you and do not give me three sentences. And, you know, you have to really understand this. Some days, and we're going to talk about this next, some days you may be right on spot with doing it. But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
There's an important reason why we're talking about this. Because if you don't get these down right now, there is a behavior that you will take
which will either get you to freedom or get you to victimization.
Yeah.
It either gets you to move on a path to recovery, or you will be back in you know where.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And that's what I was referring to. At some point, when you keep getting the same results that you've been getting, you have to take a look at that and go, huh, I'm the common denominator in either the victim mindset, where I continue to keep feeling powerless over people, places, and circumstances, or I've stepped into my power. And in that example you just gave, that's okay if you're one of those people that need more than one or two sentences. But it is our responsibility to ask for what we want and need and make a request.
Oh, my gosh. I just went through this crazy over the stupidest thing this weekend. I can't mention the name on air, but I go to this one pizza place to get their salad. And the salad that I get is not even on the menu anymore. And I'm like, what? Instead of that Greek salad, which I love, and then you can put your own stuff in it. And I get a giant one. And it, like, lasts me, and I have it, like, with other stuff, right? It's like this delicious, like, Greek salad thing. And I go to order, and it's like, wait, you replaced my Greek salad with, like, some salad with strawberries in it? Are you kidding me? But you see where you go. And then I go, wait, you can't order the Greek thing online. So then I go in, and I'm like, okay, can I have the Greek salad? Because it's, like, not on your menu anymore. And they say, that's right, it's not on our menu anymore. And I'm like, well, can I have the Greek salad? But it's not on our menu anymore. And so you could see the dialogue, right?
Yep.
Then I have to get the mindfulness gene that kicks in.
Yes.
And I say, okay, can you build me a salad that was like that Greek salad?
Yep. Yes.
Don't call it the Greek salad. I don't care what you call it.
Yeah.
Just give me a gigantic thing that they make of that salad. But you could see that in that moment, that could have went really sideways. And that's a simple little thing, Kelly.
Absolutely. But you see how you just, like, went through the steps we were talking about. So there was a problem. You had a reaction and you had some inaction, right? You're like, oh. But then you went in and you were inquisitory instead of accusatory. I'm just curious. Can you build me a salad?
Like the Greek one.
Like the Greek one? You weren't like, you're an idiot. You don't have this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you're mindful and you keep in alignment. You're impeccable with your word about who you are as a person. How do I want to show up? I want to be proud of everything that I say. Right? But if you go in and you're like, my perspective is the only perspective. I'm sorry. I don't agree with you. You're going to keep getting the same results you've always gotten, which is not good.
Yeah.
Right.
But that leads to this last thing, which really is important in all of this, because the next part of that conversation with the salad was, well, can you tell me what's in the Greek salad? And, like, this is the person that makes the salads.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what's in the Greek salad? Okay, because it's not on the board anymore. It's like, I don't know where the Greek salad went. And they got all their stuff in front of them. And I said, I had that moment. See, always do your best.
Yes.
Always do your best.
Yes.
And I said to him, because I was studying for this show, I said, you know, I will try my best. I will do my best to do that. And off we went. But see, this is it. Always do your best. It doesn't say always do it to perfection.
No.
Right? But this one right here, this is a game changer.
Yes. I almost love this one the best because it encompasses all the three other ones, right? And this is where I see a lot of my clients pause, and I saw myself pause as I did the steps in recovery. You know, you see people get to the fourth step in recovery, myself included, and I took a minute, or my clients get to my paradigm and they stop because if they can't do it perfectly, they're like, ah, right? So I love this. So it says, you know, when you do your best, you learn to accept yourself. Acceptance. I remember talking in my first show about, like, this is what we're going to do, right? We're going to take my story. We're going to go back and learn about the acceptance. When I got into acceptance and didn't resist decisions I had made, took accountability for everything, get to the present, and how we maintain that resilience. So when you do your best, you learn to accept yourself, but you have to be aware and learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
People don't want to look at their mistakes. They're like, right? And a great example I want to give, Dr. Pat, is for anybody that has children or have been around children or things like that. I myself don't have children, so I like to use the example of this. But when you have children and your child comes up to you and they're like, Mom, 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 right? Like, what's going to happen if you don't acknowledge that child? They're going to keep going, like, Mom, 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 until you look at your child and you say, I see you, I hear you, and I acknowledge you, right? And then your child's going to go play, and they're going to do their thing, and they might come back and go, Mom, 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 Mom. And then you acknowledge, I see you, I hear you. That's like your mistakes. Okay?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Until you look at them and you see you, I hear you, I acknowledge you, right? They might come back, right? But that's what I really want to encourage people to do, because the more you resist it, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be a mistake you made, whether it be a pattern you keep repeating, whether it be your addiction or alcoholism, put your arm around it, embrace it, and be like, you're part of me. I love you. I accept you. And boom, right? Because the minute you start doing that, you learn to accept yourself, all of you.
Well, so, let's talk about this in terms of recovery, too, because I know you're going to give us a page out of the big book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So because what I hear you saying is the word accept. So I want to get to acceptance because, you know, Don Miguel doesn't say it, but acceptance is built in each one of those four agreements. And it's also built in, you know, this idea of mindfulness matters is it matters because it gives you a neutral place to go. It doesn't mean you're not going to ruminate about fears and things, right? That's not what it means. But let's talk about this thing called acceptance, because this now applies whether you're in recovery or not in recovery. This right here, what we're about to talk about. Go ahead. Tell us about it.
All of it. So learning from your mistakes means you practice, look honestly at the results, whether they're good or bad, and keep practicing. So that right there will increase your mindfulness and your awareness. So doing your best is taking the action because you want to. I need to make that very clear. Because you want to and love it. Not because you're getting an award, expecting a reward or an accolade, because then you have an expectation. And I want to get into that, you know. If you have an expectation and don't enjoy the action, then you're going to meet that resistance. And it becomes a have to instead of a want to or a get to. And it leads to a resentment. And Dr. Pat, you know as well as I do, when you're made to have to do something, it makes me feel resentful, or it makes me feel kind of angry, as opposed to if I want to do something or I get to do something.
Yeah. So, right, this weekend for me, let's just get real about it.
Yeah.
This weekend for me, right, you and I work.
Yeah.
We work. We're working people. We have
Absolutely.
Our own businesses. We're doing that.
Yeah.
Who knows when we need to be on call or what we need to do.
Yeah.
I realized to me, I was just right smack in the middle of that thing. So let's move beyond the Greek salad. Because this was this weekend for me, and it's not a surprise, Kelly, because
yeah.
I'm getting ready for this show, so it's like straight up in my face. So what's the other resentment? I got to clean my house. Okay, that's number one. What's the second one? Oh, my God, I got to cut my grass and weed whack it, because the person that did this is no longer available. So now here I am. I just want to go play ping pong, but I go play ping pong, and all I can think about is I should be home cutting my grass. Now, what happened with that was I came home, and I started to do some stuff. My neighbor comes over and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm cutting my grass. He said, why? Wait till it gets to be 71 degrees next week.
Yep.
And I said, you know how fogged up my whole thinking was? Because why? Resentment was driving me.
Yes.
Over cutting the grass, which half of it is burnt out already, people that
yes.
live here. And then cleaning my house. I mean, you know what? I don't mind cleaning, Kelly. Kelly, look, I know how to clean with the toothbrush from Grandma. But here's what I want to say. You got to take this away now, because I couldn't get someone to come to take care of this for me.
That's right.
But boy, let me just get a resentment about it. That's better.
That's it. Because you get on the autopilot, right? So action is about living fully. Inaction is the way that we deny life. So if we're doing our best, the first three agreements will only work if you do your best. not perfectly, Dr. Pat, not on autopilot thinking you got to be your own CEO, lawnmower, weed whacker, table tennis player, okay? So
I'm a weed whacking table tennis player.
Right? And I do the same thing. That's why I'm saying it to you so we can both listen to our own words of advice here, right? Routine habits, this is what I'm going to say to you. Routine habits are too strong and firmly rooted in our minds. That's why you are doing what you are doing and I'm doing what I'm doing, right? So don't expect that you will never take anything personally. Just do your best. Don't expect that you will never make another assumption, but we can certainly do our best. Don't expect that you will never make, you know, another assumption. Oh, I already covered that. I guess I'm saying it twice because that's the one I need to work on.
Just get it in there.
Right? So if we are mindful and do our best over and over again, we will become a master of transformation. That is what I want to take home here, right? If we do our best in search of personal freedom, in search of self-love, without judgment of ourselves or criticism of our own journey, we will find what we are looking for. So my favorite quote from Brené Brown, my spirit animal, is, I'm a recovering perfectionist and an aspiring good enoughist, right? And so page 417 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I read this every night before I go to bed, says, an acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Present, conscious, mindful in this moment. So there are three things, Dr. Pat, we can control. The thoughts we think, the words we speak, and the actions we take. So being mindful of those things are really the most important takeaway. And like you said, that can keep us in a victim mindset, the thoughts we think, the words we speak, and the actions we take, or it can make us in the thrive mentality with the thoughts we think, the words we speak, actions we take.
And isn't that the core of mindfulness? I mean, isn't that the core? Isn't that, you know, to bring it full circle, let's bring it full circle in the minute we have left. But the full circle is that mindfulness is that bridge, isn't it?
That is the bridge. Over. And I just want to like lead us out into our next episode with Nancy McFadden, and a client shared this with me because I was sharing something and she's like, oh, and I think this like summarizes it for us. She says, I hope you live life not for the accolades, but for the experience itself. Climb the mountain not to plant the flag, but to embrace the challenge, enjoy the air, and behold the view. Climb it so you can see the world and not so the world can see you. I hope you don't let fear stop you. I hope you take a pause every so often, and I wish you so much more than luck. Right? It's not so we get an award. It's not so we do this mindfulness work and being present so that we can get to the top and go, wow, look at everything I overcame. I kept practicing. I kept looking at my patterns. I kept wanting to be impeccable with my word. I kept practicing not making assumptions. I kept practicing not taking things personally. And now my life looks so much better, and I feel so much more alive and free because of it. Thank you for listening to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction. Tune in the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and the steps to take that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Experience the transformation from addiction to living your best life. For more information about Maximum Resilience and me, Kelly Bazzani, visit MyResilienceCoach.com. That's MyResilienceCoach.com.